Ryan Peacock. Bottle, and they try not to knock it over.
Thank you. Where are my Girl Scouts rope jumpers? Well, that's fine. I'm glad I have these tale-tellers all up here in a row. Well, the young'un is going to tell a tale first. That's a cousin Bertha from Gainesville. Step on up there and see if you can out-tell these.
Hey, everybody. I was here one time before telling stories. I don't know whether y'all remember me or not. I'm from over in Alachua County. That's where the Devil's Millhopper is. That's where the Devil's Millhopper is and Payne's Prairie and a lot of other holes in the ground. That's why they call it Alachua County, because Alachua is an Indian word that means sinkhole. Now, some people say it means big jug, and nobody seem to know for sure. But you know, there's an awful lot of things that folks don't know for sure. And my teacher says that's why there's so many stories made up about how things happened and everything. And people keep on telling the stories till they get where they believe them, and they get kind of superstitious and scared and all like that. And superstitious is when you believe in ghosts and witches and signs and things, you know, like if you put on your clothes wrong side out in the morning, you can't change them all day or else you'll have bad luck. Or if a black cat runs in front of you, it's going to give you bad luck. Or if you break a wishbone under the table leg with somebody, if you get the short end, your wish will come true. And all that kind of thing. Now, my teacher says that you ought not be superstitious, but I believe it pays to be careful. I like to got in trouble the other day, though. You know, they say that if there's a, if you see a red truck, if you right quick pinch the person next closest to you, that you can make a wish and it'll come true. And I seen one, and I was out in the schoolyard, and I pinched Tommy Smith, and he liked to jumped on me. We liked to got in a big fight before I could explain what I was doing, and I never did get to make my wish. But I what I started out to tell was about all these stories that people make up. And my daddy, he's been around here in Florida all his life, and his all my family's been here since my great granddaddy came here a long time before the Civil War. And so my daddy, he just knows all kinds of stories about how things happened the way they did in Florida. And it seems like every time I ask him why something, he tells me another story. Now the other day, for instance, I asked him how come there were so many lakes in Florida. And he said, well, that long time ago, that before there was any people in the world even, there was just lots of great big elephants. Oh, they was tremendous things, bigger than anything we got today. And he said one of them, named Jumbo, he come down to Florida to look around, and he just walked all over the state. And he was so big, and his feet weighed so much that every time he stepped down, his foot would sink down in the ground. And so he just walked all around, and he didn't like it very much. So he left. But he left a lot of footprints around, great big old footprints, and they just all filled up with water. And that's how come we got so many lakes all over Florida. And another thing about why that there's a lot of stories about is the Spanish moss that's on the trees. Now, last time I was here, I told you one of the stories. Since one of the stories, and since then I've heard another one, and I just don't know which one is true. But this one's another one. A long, long, long time ago, there was a particular tribe of Indians that lived in Florida, and they was, oh, they were rich and brave and strong, and oh, they just had everything in the world that heart could wish for. Just wasn't nothing missing, all this good climate and plenty of game and fish, and they just didn't have anything that they needed. But do you know that them Indians wasn't satisfied? They just quarreled and fussed all the time, and the Great Spirit, that's what they call God, the Great Spirit was just waiting patiently for them to quit that foolishness and get satisfied. But they just kept on quarreling and fussing, and one day they was out on a big hunting trip, and in the middle of the day, oh, they were just having awful good luck hunting. They were just shooting deers and everything. But in the middle of the day, the sun got kind of hot and bright and shining down on them. And the old chief, he turned to one of the braves and he said, "I declare," said, "the Great Spirit just hadn't got any feelings to make this old sun burn us up like this." And boy, when the Great Spirit heard that, that made him mad. And all of a sudden, this great big voice came out of the sky and said, "You, my children, have been ungrateful. Just for that, I've given you everything you needed, and you still fuss and quarrel. Now you fussed at me about this sunshine. And just for that, I'm going to take the sun away from you." The voice stopped. And a great big storm blew up, and the Indians just ran into their wigwams to wait for it was over, and the storm kept on and on for about 3 or 4 days, I guess, and finally it stopped, and then they came out of their wigwams just hoping the Great Spirit hadn't meant what he said. But he did, because there still wasn't no sunshine. And there was just nothing but blankets of gray mist all around. And they was cold, and the birds, the corn that they planted wouldn't come up, and the birds and the animals hid in their nests and in their holes, and oh, it was just perfectly miserable. And this just went on and on and on for, oh, I just don't know how long. And until, like my daddy says, the Indians was sadder but wiser. And one day the Great Spirit spoke again out of the sky. And he said, "You have learned your lesson. So I will give you back the sunshine. But I will not take away the mist. It will settle and grow in the trees to remind you of the Great Spirit, the giver of life and death." And so it did. It settled and grew in all the trees, and there it is, just all over the place, all over Florida, and even up in Georgia some. Well, there's a lot of stories like that, but some of the stories that I like best, the ones about pirates and buried treasure. You know, Florida it's got a lot of buried treasure in it, because it was a good place for pirates and all a long time ago. When they was hiding out, and they'd come to Florida, and they'd bury their treasure, and then some of them would go off and get killed or something, and they never didn't come back, and the treasure just stayed here. Only sometimes their ghosts came back and haunted the place, tried to keep people from getting the treasure. But when you go out to hunt buried treasure, you have to be awful careful. You have to have either three or five or seven people in the bunch, and one of them's got to carry a Bible, and another one's got to carry sweet milk and honey, and you got to have a magic ring of sand all around the place where you're digging to keep the ghosts away. When anybody's digging, if they find the treasure, they can't say nothing about it till they get back out of the magic ring of sand, or the treasure will disappear. So, see, there's lots of things you got to remember. And when I get big, I'm going out and hunt some buried treasure. I reckon the best place is maybe around the coast part of Florida. I got some kinfolks living over at Pensacola, and they said that there was used to be an awful lot of pirates over there, that it's just a good place for them. Said there's one place there that they tell a story about. It's called Lady's Walk. And they say that one time, a long time ago, that there was a shipload of pirates that was coming into Santa Rosa Bay to attack a treasure ship that they heard was coming in from Spain. But the government heard about pirates coming, too. And so they sent a government ship to get the pirates. And so when the pirates come into the bay, by the way, the pirates, they had a captive lady with them that they captured from some other ship, beautiful lady. Forgot to tell you that. But anyway, when they come into Santa Rosa Bay, they sure enough saw the treasure ship, but lo and behold, they saw the government ship too, and that scared them. So they scuttled their ship, and they got on the little boats and started in to shore. And the pirate leader, he took the captive lady and in the boat with him, and they was rowing onto the shore. But she got out of her chains and she jumped into the bay and started swimming to shore. And the pirate leader, he jumped in too, and he started swimming after her. But he was so loaded down with cutlasses and things like that he couldn't swim as fast as she could. So she got there first. And when she got there, she went running along the beach and just, you know, running away from him. When he got there, he started running after her. And after a while, he caught her. And when he did, he caught her by her long golden hair, and he cut off her head and threw her body in the bay. And he went on running down the beach. And after a while, he noticed he was still holding her head in his hand, and so he throwed it away too. But it was a long way from her body. And well, anyhow, finally the government men, they caught the pirates and they killed them, and they rolled them off of what they call Dead Man's Bluff over there. But then that's just been a long, long time ago. But even to this very day, that captive lady, they say, comes out on moonlight nights and walks along the beach there looking for her head. And you can see her, you can just see her, but every time you try to touch her, she disappears. And and when you go back the next day to see, why, you can't even find your footprints, because she done swept them away. She has on this long dress, and it just sweeps the sand when she walks. And there's a place about 10 acres that's just as smooth and pretty, because that lady just walks up and down all the time looking for her head. And they call it Lady's Walk. But I got another uncle that lives down at Key West, and my my daddy, he laughs and says that's really the jumping off place. But and my uncle, he don't care. He says it sure enough was one time that when there was lots of different tribes of Indians in Florida, and they was, you know, all the time fighting and everything, that the winning tribe would drive the losing tribe down south and keep on going till he just push them along the Keys. And finally, when they got to Key West, there wasn't no place else to go, so they had to jump or fight. And so usually that's where they made their last stand. And when the Spaniards came to Key West, they just found so many bones on the Key that they called it, some Spanish name, sounds kind of like Cal Hueso, that means Bone Key. And my uncle said there just used to be a lot of pirates down there too, and that actually the place was settled by pirates and criminals, and that they just made their money off of the ships that used to wreck down there. And just to make sure that, because it was an awful dangerous place down there for boats. And just to make sure that they did make a real good living, why, they just made sure that some boats did wreck, and they'd move all the lights around so the ships would go to the wrong places, and they'd wreck, and the government, when the government finally built lighthouses down there, why, they just had to call out the militia to keep the people from tearing them down, because it just ruined their business. And my uncle said that you could just see the styles changing in Key West according to what kind of ship that they had plundered the night before. Well, there's just lots of other stories. I could just go on all day, but I gotta go on home now, because my daddy said that if I'd come on home early, he'd take me fishing. And the fishing's mighty good over in Lotchaway County. Well, my daddy went out fishing.
Has learned lots of tales, hasn't she? And they're wonderful tales. She's going to tell us some more later on in the program. Now, while our old-timers sit here a little bit, we'll turn them around, and the rope jump rhymers, rope skippers, will come up and skip a little for us. Want to? Then Mary Lee's going to sing them a little song.
Down.
now, Mary Lee Wainwright from Hollywood. Hollywood, Florida, of course, not California. And a music lady from down there. And Mary Lee's been with us every year. We're always so glad to have her because she's so full of music. And she's going to sing for us right now.
I would like to sing for you, Skip Tumaloo.
Steal you a partner, Tomalamaloo. Steal you a partner, Tomalamaloo. Steal you a partner, Tomalamaloo. Skip Tumaloo, my darling. Skip Tumaloo, my darling. Now she kicked me, Tomalamaloo.